She smiled like a movie star. My stomach squirmed with revulsion. After a moment, though, the feeling was gone. It left me dazed, and she had to repeat herself. "Do you need anything else, honey?" she asked. The words dripped off her lips like syrup. Did I need anything else? Was I even here in the first place? My thoughts were hard to access through the heavy curtain of fog that had begun to enshroud them the moment that I had driven through the city limits of that small, nothing town. I had wound up here after taking a wrong turn on a long stretch of road in the Texas backcountry. It seemed to be completely barren of anything useful. Most importantly, gas stations. Oh. That's why I was here. I needed gas. "Gas," I said blankly. "I need gas." She smiled that smile again. It reminded me of the way the wax celebrity statues at Madame Tussauds smiled. "You already got gas, honey," she said. "Right," I said. For a fleeting moment, a thought cut through the fog in my mind like a high-beam headlight. "Get out of here right now." But she smiled that Southern Belle smile, and the thought suddenly vanished.
"Say, you don't look so good, honey," she said.
"I don't?"
"No, sir, not at all. You look about ready to faint."
I did feel a little unsteady.
"Not to worry, though. I know just what you need. A good stout meal of some Southern home cooking should set your head on straight."
My leg twitched, and for an absurd moment, I envisioned myself breaking into a sprint, slamming through the glass doors and running until my legs couldn't carry me anymore. The woman's periwinkle eyes seemed to glow just a bit around the edges, and I realized that would be rude. "You can't turn down a free dinner, Darren. That's just not polite." The voice in my head was my own, but it seemed to have a slight southern twang. "What a charming accent." "Of course," I said. "That would be wonderful."
"Now there's a sharp fella," she winked at me. "It's about time to close up the shop anyway. What do you say we knock off early and head home to my place? My mother would just love to meet you."
"Yes, of course," I said. "I'd love to meet her too." She came around the counter and took me by the arm. As she led me outside, my head gave a twang of pain. "Boy, it sure was bright today."
"We'll take you to your car," she said. "It just won't do to leave it sitting out of the pumps all summer."
"No. Of course not." I dug into my pockets and handed her my keys. The next thing I remember, I was sitting in her dining room. Arranged on the table was the most splendid feast I'd ever seen. Thick cuts of honeyed ham, wide rashers of bacon still sizzling with grease, creamy mashed potatoes that wafted the most delicious smell of garlic and butter, and so much more. The fragrance was overwhelming, savory, sweet, and saliva-inducing. There was a strange smell underneath it all, though. Rotting meat, or...
"Have some ham, dear,"
the woman's mother said, offering a plate piled high with meat, honey glaze glistening enchantingly in the light from the silver candelabra that sat at the center of the table. The mother smiled just like her daughter, and although she must have been in her 60s, there was something undeniably magnetic, seductive even, about her. "Yes, ma'am, thank you." I took the plate and set it down in front of me. It looked delicious. I couldn't wait to dig in. The first bite was halfway to my mouth and my hand froze. Some not quite conscious part of my brain caught a note, that hidden scent again. Mouth-watering, yet sickening and cloyingly sweet all at once. My stomach squirmed and I felt a sudden urge to vomit. "I think I'd better go." The words slipped out of my mouth without forethought. I pushed myself up from the chair and the daughter laid a coaxing hand on my chest and then suddenly snapped it back as if she'd been burned. It was something burning. It felt like a white-hot wire against my chest. I reached into my shirt and yanked it away and felt it singe the flesh of my hand. I stared dumbfoundedly down at the crucifix in my palm. My grandmother's. A deeply religious woman. She had it blessed in Rome and insisted I wear it whenever I traveled, so that I might, in her words, be protected. Now it was glowing red with heat.
"Oh, honey," the daughter said, "that looks terribly painful. Why don't you put it down?"
"Yes." Yes, I should put it down. It's burning my hand. I looked up at the daughter to see her smiling, but her grin was a little too wide. It reminded of a wolf baring its teeth, yet her eyes were transfixing. They seemed to be growing wider and wider like bottomless wells. I could feel myself being drawn into them. I was almost too late when I saw her mother creeping around side of the table with a carving knife. I gripped the burning crucifix and my arm went rigid, like I stuck a fork into a wall outlet. It moved on its own, slamming the crucifix onto the old woman's forehead. She shrieked, a raging, throaty wail that turned my insides into a bucket of oily worms. Her mouth shrunk back around her teeth that seemed impossibly large. Large and oh so very sharp. I felt a searing pain in my shoulder, and I swirled around to see the daughter had sunk her teeth into me. Her jaw was dislocated like a snake's. I slammed the crucifix on top of her head, and her hair burst into flames. Undaunted, I thrust the crucifix into her skull over and over again until I felt it crack beneath my blows, and her jaw grip around my shoulder slackened. She stumbled backwards and collapsed onto a heap on the floor. Her skin was dripping off her bones like melted wax, sizzling and smoking as it dropped to the floor. The old woman was already gone, a pile of ashes spilled out of her empty clothes. With a final ear-shattering scream, the daughter exploded into a ball of fire. The ball collapsed in on itself, leaving nothing but a scorch mark behind. I heard buzzing to my right side and looked toward the table, where moments before there had been a feast, where chipped plates piled high with rotting meat. Flies buzzing all around. Feeling half drunk, I stumbled out of the house. What I saw outside stole away whatever scraps remained of my courage. Trembling, I bolted to my own car, jammed the key into the ignition. My tires screamed as I hit the throttle and drove. I glanced in the rearview mirror only once. The house loomed in the darkness like an evil idol, and all around it were the decaying, rusty remains of 100 cars. Hey there, kids, it's me, Mr. Creepypasta, and I wanted to tell you all thank you so much for listening to tonight's video, or watching on YouTube, or listening on the podcast that's available on Spotify and on iTunes and on Google Play. I especially wanted to give a big thank you shout out to the patrons, Tyler Ramberg, Jazzy G, Mercer Virus 2, Cindy Barney, Andrew Bankett, Chumpinski, Daniel Paulson, and Dante Rao. You guys make this channel be what it is, as well as everybody who supports on Patreon, even down to $1. If you guys would like to become a supporter, head over to patreon.com/MrCreepyPasta, because I appreciate any kind of support that you guys can give, because it allows me to eat as well as feeds my cat. Oh, there is one more little fun fact about Patreon as well. We hit a pretty significant milestone recently, and because of that, I think that it might be able to fund something that I have been wanting to do for a couple of years, and we'll be getting an exclusive series this summer. So, finally, I'll be able to work on some completely original stuff that's just for the channel, as well as talking to a few authors about doing something new, which, that might be pretty big. This coming weekend, I'm going to be in the Wisconsin Dells at No Brand Con. If anybody in Wisconsin would like to come by and see me, I'll be there. I'll be telling scary stories. I'll be playing a bunch of games. I'll be shaking hands and playing games. I would really love to see anybody who's in the area. I would like to come by. Plus, the convention's really fun, and it's in the middle of Wisconsin Dells, which, believe it or not, and I dare you to Google this, the Wisconsin Dells is the water park capital of America. And I dare you Google it. It's actually the truth. The middle of fucking Western America is the water park cap. There's not even a beach nearby. It's insane. The place is wonderful, the convention's wonderful, and you all are wonderful for listening to me ramble on at the end of this video or podcast. Thank you guys so much. I'll see you all in... No, I'm not doing that. That's a terrible ending. Sweet dreams.